and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The controversial Independent Police Conduct Commission Act, which deals with the complaints about police misconduct, came into force on July 1st. Now, this despite civil society and opposition parties continuously raising concern over the lack of enforcement powers in the IPCC to act against errant police officers. Now, to shed more light on this matter, we have joining us on the show Dato' Sri M. Ramachelvam, who is the president of the National Human Rights Society, better known as HACAM. He's also the chairperson of the Bar Council's Task Force on IPCMC and Police Accountability. Dato' Sri Rama, thank you so much for being on the show with me. I appreciate you taking time to talk to us. We have the IPCC, it's now come into force. But beyond that headline, the fact that it has come into force, what does this actually mean? What does it mean for the public, for complaints over police misconduct, for oversight over PDRM? Can you help us better understand what this means come July 1st? It's now in effect.
Melissa, the IPCMC is an organization that is, or rather now what is called as the IPCC, is an organization that is to have external oversight over misconduct in the Royal Malaysian Police Force. That is the essence and the crux of the Independent Police Complaints Commission.
Okay, so is it better that we have an IPCC, or even though it's a weak IPCC, rather than no IPCC, if you get my drift?
It is my opinion that when we have an external oversight mechanism, we should get the basic fundamentals right. Therefore, to have an IPCC in name, but without the requisite powers, would not serve the purpose, really.
Okay, so several concerns have been raised about the lack of search and investigative powers of the IPCC. I think you yourself have called for the IPCC to have a truly independent investigative arm. Right now, who is responsible for overseeing complaints under the current IPCC Act?
Under the IPCC Act, issues of misconduct that is reported to the IPCC will be looked at by the IPCC. However, if there are complaints that go to the head of department, there is no need to refer that to the IPCC. And one very important matter, Melissa, you must take into account. The present IPCC, as it is legislated, takes out those complaints under Section 96 and 97 of the Police Act. Those matters cannot be investigated by the IPCC. So the role and powers of the IPCC under the present Act is very limited compared to the IPCMC Bill 2019 and the IPCMC 2005 Draft Bill.
And okay, this is essentially the kind of weakest version of police oversight that we've passed. Can I better understand, when you talk about the complaints, what type of complaints can be lodged against PDRM under the IPCC framework?
Technically, they can lodge any complaint of misconduct. However, and those things are specified in Section 22.1, subsection 1 of the Act, which talks about any act or inaction which is contrary to written law, any act or inaction that is unreasonable, unjust, oppressive, or improperly discriminatory, or an act or inaction which is committed on improper motives. Those are the basic things. As stated earlier, if the matter falls within a misconduct under Section 96 and 97 of the Police Act, then the IPCC cannot inquire into that misconduct. And under Section 97, Melissa, there are more than 100 minor and major misconducts that are regulated under the IGSO or the Inspector General's standing orders, and the IPCC is excluded from investigating these misconducts. You know, these are the issues. And also you have the exclusion on the production of sensitive information, which requires heads of department approval. You also have issues pertaining to official secrets or information prejudicial to national security or national interests. These are legitimate issues, matters on national security. However, there must be a balance between national security, the protection of national security and national interests against vis-a-vis police accountability. So we should have judicial oversight, hearings and cameras, and so on and so forth.
Why is there this division between the types of misconduct complaints that it falls under the purview of the IPCC versus the, is it the GP, the Inspector, IGSO, right? Okay, so why is there such a disparity between what the IPCC can look into and what they can't?
This is precisely the problem with the IPCC. In the IPCMC Bill 2019, a similar provision was there. Civil society, the Bar Council, and CSOs took up this matter. And the response from the government was to remove that bar. Mm-hmm. And they came up with a schedule to the IPCMC 2019 Act, which then specified that minor infractions would be within the purview of the IGP, pursuant to the IGSO. You know, instances like he did not wear his shoe that was shining, or a shirt that was, you know, properly ironed, and so on and so forth. Of course, the IPCC would not have to look at it. It's something that the police officers can look at. So there was a schedule on those very minor infractions that the 2019 bill provided for to be under the IGP or the IGSO, whereas the more serious infractions or misconducts would be in the hands of the IPCC. And that is what has not taken place. It's a step backwards.
Right. So right now, who is on the commission? What do we know about the IPCC? Who's on the commission? How the commissioners are appointed? Who will have this power for, limited as it is, police oversight?
Okay. As far as we know, the powers are vested in the hands of the Prime Minister. He'll be responsible for the appointment or recommending the appointments of the commissioners. There is no parliamentary oversight as it stands. Our position in the bar, in civil society, and so on, is that this appointment should be vested in a select committee within parliament to be non-partisan, so to speak. The other issue that is, of course, of great concern, the IPCC is parked in the Ministry of Home Affairs. And the police are also parked, a part of the Ministry of Home Affairs. So there would be definite conflict. So we are of the opinion, and I am personally of the opinion, that it should be parked under the Prime Minister, sorry, the Parliament, one of the select committees in Parliament.
Right. Rama, can I ask you who should be on the commission, in your opinion? That there is, you know, significant concern that appointed members might have conflict of interest or affiliations with the police, simply because the fact that civilian oversight of the police has always been a difficult topic, not just for Malaysia, but around the world. So it's a hard pill to swallow for a lot of the police force around the world having civilian oversight. So who do you think should be on the commission to increase public trust in the commission's independence?
The commission should comprise of persons across the board. Of course, people who have served as judges would be eminently qualified to be commissioners. People from the civil society with a human rights background would be eminently qualified. There are people who would not be qualified, I would say, are persons who have served in law enforcement, in the police force themselves, and public service. So these were some of the limitations. One thing we can be very sure is those who have served in the police force should not serve in the commission. There was such a limitation, but in the present act, there is no such limitation.
Okay. Are there ways for the limitations of the IPCC to be addressed through alternative mechanisms? You mentioned having parliamentary oversight over the appointment of the commissioners. Are there other ways that we can enhance the IPCC Act now that it's passed, now that it's enforced, but ways around the limitations of this act?
You see, there are several issues that we need to overcome, Melissa. This is something that has been said time and again. To make it a commission that can carry out its functions to bring about police accountability, the most important matter is that there is no disciplinary powers given to the commission. Okay, like it or not, without disciplinary powers being given to the commission, it is doomed to fail. This is exactly the position we are in now. EAIC has got similar investigative powers. Bulk of cases, if I'm not mistaken, it's 80 to 90% of cases before the EAIC relate to the Royal Malaysian Police Force. They investigate, they make the recommendations to the Police Force Commission, and from my understanding, many of the recommendations are not carried out, or the Police Force Commission commences another round of investigations. Our position is that disciplinary powers be given to the IPCC, and if an officer is unhappy with the findings, he can always appeal to a court of law on those findings. There must be judicial oversight, of course, the right to judicial recourse for any aggrieved person.
Okay, so you don't see there being any political will for disciplinary powers to be removed from under the PDRM?
In fact, I must say that in the 2019 bill, the IPCMC bill, it had provided for disciplinary powers to be vested with the IPCMC. And the Royal Malaysian Police Force had then agreed that the disciplinary powers be vested in the IPCMC or the renamed IPCC. It was only in 2020, when the bill was withdrawn, the original 2019 bill, and the new bill that was tabled, that this disciplinary powers disappeared.
Okay. All right, then. I will leave it on that note. Dato' Sri Rama, thank you for being on the show with me. That was Dato' Sri M. Ramachelvam from HAKAM and the Bar Council's Task Force on IPCMC and Police Accountability. We're going to take a very quick break here and consider this. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. Hi, Hi, welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Let's continue our discussion about the Independent Police Conduct Commission, which came into force July 1st. Joining me now is Dr. Lin Mui Kiang. She's a chairperson of the Society for the Promotion of Human Rights, better known as ProHarm. Dr. Lin, thank you for being on the show. We hear of major concerns about the limitations of the IPCC, the lack of investigative powers, and most importantly, the lack of disciplinary powers. We know that it is a watered-down version of the IPCMC, and what I'm curious to know is that, what do you think the objectives are of this iteration of the IPCC that recently came into force? What is it meant to do, and who is it meant to serve?
Right. Thank you, Melissa. I think it is... understatement to say that it is a watered-down version of the IPCMC. In fact, the salient feature of the IPCMC is that it's provided with disciplinary and prosecutive powers, you know, and it guarantees accountability because it is provided with the necessary enforcement powers to improve oversight and allow independent investigation and disciplinary action for errant police officers. And for those who are errant, abusive, and corrupt officers across the rank and file. And the purpose of the IPMC is to be a truly independent and oversight to preserve the integrity of the police institution, restore public confidence and in policing, and ensure police accountability in a system of internal and external check and balances. And this is really very good, actually very good for the police force, because it will provide them with the dignity and respect it deserves by addressing the misconduct by a few bad apples of the force, which brings disrespect to the rest of the hardworking policemen and women who are committed to serve the society. So by protecting a few bad apples, you are bringing disrespect to the entire police force. But, and in contrast, the IPCC is not independent. It does not have disciplinary and prosecutive powers and cannot act against police officers who have committed wrongdoing, and can only recommend proposed action to the Police Force Commission or other relevant authorities.
Dr. Lin, sorry, did you say that the IPCC is not independent? What leads you to that conclusion?
I will elaborate later, you know, and it is widely seen as a sidestep to establishing a truly independent commission to investigate the police force. You see, the commissioners are to be recommended by the Prime Minister for appointment to be commissioners, and the secretary is to be appointed by the Home Minister. Mm. And this is actually, you know, the Ministry of Home Affairs investigating its own agency. There is no independence of outside check and balances at all. And then it is so watered down that it can only investigate matters that are outside the Police Force Act 1967, as well as the Inspector General's service
standing orders,
IGSO. And that covers more than 100 minor and major misconduct of the police. So what is left for the IPCC to investigate? Hardly anything.
Right.
You see? And it just shows how futile and you know, the whole system is, because this IPCC, the Police Force Commission Act, and the Inspector General's sending orders, all that were established in 1967. And this 100 over misconducts, minor and major misconducts are all listed there for the Police Force Commission and the Inspector General to take action against their own police force for any misconduct. But what nothing has happened, and that's why it was necessary for the, in fact, in 2003, the then Prime Minister Badawi, Abdullah Badawi, was so concerned with the public's outpour on the dissatisfaction on the police misconduct, you know, brutality, death in custody, you know, you name it, corruption, everything. That's why he felt pushed to set up this RCI to enhance management and operations of the police force. And when they came up with this with the IPC, with the recommendations in 2005, you know, there were 125 recommendations, one of which was to set up the IPCMC, and the rest, about 40%, was to improve police welfare, housing, salaries, working conditions. You know, it was a very integrated, holistic approach to take care of the whole police force, to transform them into a very professional, strong, and, you know, force that can be respected. You know, somehow it was so strongly resisted by the police force and even by the government. So they keep on resisting this until, and they might made a compromise in 2011 by setting up the EAIC. Mm. And the EAIC was given the task of investigating 21 enforcement agencies, and of which the police is only one agency under that. And so every year they receive more than 1,000 complaints. EIAC receive more than 1,000 complaints every year. Of right. 70 to 80% are against the police.
Hmm. Okay, so as I understand it, the EAIC, the Enforcement Agencies Integrity Commission, they also didn't have disciplinary power. So they could only make recommendations after investigations. The IPCC doesn't have any disciplinary powers either. So what is the way forward here? We have the IPCC that's come into effect now, much weaker than what's been called for by civil society. Is there a way forward? Are there ways around the limitations of the IPCC?
Yeah, even I would say the IPCC is much weaker than the AAIC. You know, the EAIC has the power to search, to seize evidence, even by force. And the recommendations that are made, at least everybody knows how many complaints have been made against the police and how many, you know, recommendations for discipline and punishment has been forwarded to the police force commission for them to take action. And somehow we never hear of any actions being taken, you know. And even when you remember when Suhakam made the finding that the forced disappearance of Pastor Raymond Koh and J. Amri Jekmat was done by the special branch of the police. Until now, we have not heard of anything that has been done regarding that. You see, so there are so many things when if it's all done within the organization, the ministry, the police, they would it should not be that the police itself. I don't think it can be done.
What about other countries? You know, independent oversight, particularly civilian oversight over a police force is a difficult battle, not just for Malaysia, but for other countries around the world. And we understand the dynamics that go within policing themselves. Is there anything that we can learn from international practices and the way that the culture has changed, that the police force is open to reform and civilian independent oversight?
I think here, the CSOs, the public, have all been very active, you know, raising concerns and voicing out what they want, what they need. They just want a very professional and respected police force. But it boils down to political will. I feel that the police feel that they are a force and not a service. They want to be a force, you know. So, and higher up politicians also feel the same way. So that is why they never had the political will to set up the IPCMC. In fact, the compromise of the EAIC was, I mean, it was already a compromise. But, you know, and having most of the complaints to EIAC being against the police force, they're not going to be very happy with that. So they want to set up this IPCC, which is so watered down that it is nothing but a kind of an advisory body to present recommendations if complaints are being made. But if complaints, if they cannot cover complaints, the 100 over complaints under the Police Force Commission, it is outside the premise, the purview of the IPCC. So they have hardly anything to do.
Dr. Lin, thank you so much for joining me on the show. I appreciate your time. Dr. Lin Mui Kiang from ProHam. They're wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching and good night.